Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Sunday, November 12th, 2017. It's Sunday, so we're talking top five games of all time. If you haven't been keeping up, I was actually challenged to finally nail down my top five games of all time, which I did several months ago, and I found the experience to be so interesting, so difficult, and I learned so much about myself as a gamer in trying to just narrow down to five games that represent me that I also challenged you guys to do it, and I've been getting so many awesome top five lists that we've turned it into a Sunday tradition where we kind of talk through some of your top five games of all time. If you want to continue that and send in your top five games of all time, please don't hesitate. It's really easy with the Anchor app. You just download the app, click on the call-in button, and record. You only have a minute, but you can record your top five games of all time. So let's jump right in for this week. We're going to start with an awesome list from Tasha. Awesome top five, Tasha. I agree 100% that there needs to be more females sending in lists. I hope this inspires a bunch of ladies to send in their lists as well. I'd love to have a much more diverse group of people sending in their top fives. I'm so glad you did. So let's dig into it. Starting with Earthbound, which is one of those games right away on the list that is on my pile of shame. I never played Earthbound. It's in that group of games in that time period that sort of just flew under my radar. I recognize that lots of people have Earthbound in very high esteem, and it was a big deal at the time and continues to be some people's favorite games, as is evidenced by your list. But it was at a time when I was kind of focused on PC games and playing very Western role-playing games, Dungeons & Dragons-inspired role-playing games. I just didn't play that game. So maybe I'll have to go back and play it. Is it on? I think it is one of the games on the SNES Classic. Am I crazy? I should have looked that up before starting. Anyway, I don't know about Earthbound, but I'm glad you dig it. Breath of the Wild, however, is a really cool entry into your list because it's so recent, and so many people are talking about Breath of the Wild being one of the great games of all time. I certainly think it's going to represent a sea change in the industry. It's one of those seminal works that's going to influence everything that comes after it. And I certainly can't fault anybody for putting it on their list, even if, to my mind, a little premature. But if you love it that much, I certainly understand. And I think that it's pretty clear that given the long view of time, we are going to look back on Breath of the Wild as being one of the great works in the video game medium. So yeah, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. It's redefining what open world role-playing games are even about. So kudos to you to identify that right away and put it on your list. Final Fantasy Tactics. Yes, lots of these lists, week after week, people put Final Fantasy games on. I think this is only the second time I've heard Final Fantasy Tactics, which for me, by far the best Final Fantasy. I love some Final Fantasy games, but nothing as much as I love Final Fantasy Tactics. And that's because I have such a soft spot in my heart for turn-based combat in general, and turn-based games and board games. And Final Fantasy Tactics sort of feels like a board game. And why is there no new Final Fantasy Tactics game? Why has Square Enix forsaken us and not made new Final Fantasy Tactic games? That needs to happen. But yes, a very worthy entry on anybody's list. Excellent. Love Final Fantasy Tactics. And World of Warcraft, of course, probably the game I put more hours into in my life than any other. I've mentioned this before when we talked about top five lists. It's a game that really deserves to be put on my list, and I kind of feel a little guilty that I didn't have room for it, but World of Warcraft, it turned me into an MMO player. I didn't really play EverQuest or Ultima Online before it. I dabbled in those, but World of Warcraft turned me into an MMO player and changed the landscape of video games. It's an important work. It's still going, which is to saying something. Certainly belongs on people's lists. And then, of course, I love the fact that you put Okami. Okami wasn't one of those games that resonated with me. I played it on several platforms now, and I think it's actually coming out in a even newer version, a new remastered edition. We talked about a couple months ago when they announced it. I think it's coming out for modern consoles yet again, and deservedly so. It's a work of art. And as you mentioned, Tasha, it's quirky and different and strange and Japanese and wonderful, and kind of shows what video games can do when you kind of throw all the rules out and come at it from a very artistic place. So yes, Okami, an excellent game for anybody's list.
Hi Jeff, this is Tasha calling in with my top five favorite games, and I just thought you needed to have a few more female callers calling in. So my criteria for picking these was, I guess, just overall the tone of the games. I like games that are joyful and optimistic and kind of weird, so I like a lot of Japanese games. So my top games are Earthbound, Breath of the Wild, Final Fantasy Tactics, World of Warcraft, and Okami. And I also really like Mario games, but it was too hard for me to pick one, but I am really enjoying the newest one, Mario Odyssey, so who knows, maybe that one will make it to my list after I've played more of it. Okay, bye.
Next up, another list. This one comes from Logan, who has some awesome anecdotes about how games have affected his real life. Awesome list, Logan. Thanks for sending it in. Very Blizzard heavy, which I can appreciate as a Blizzard fanboy myself. But let's start at the top with Turtles in Time. Now, there's a really fun, eclectic pick for your list. I certainly recognize the fact that that game could engender so much fun, cooperative play among buddies, and I played the crap out of that game in the arcades mostly. I didn't really play it too much on Super NES because I felt like it still retained a lot of that steal your quarter mentality, but on SNES, it just required a continue. So it was like weirdly balanced or imbalanced, as the case may be, weirdly difficult, had weird difficulty spikes that were there to steal kids' quarters in the arcade, but didn't really translate to the home console. So it always kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong. But those old side-scrolling beat-em-ups, oh man, I loved all of them. The Simpsons, X-Men, all those old Capcom CP1 games, what, Captain Commando, wasn't that one of them? I loved all of those games, and certainly Turtles was right at the top of my list on those ones as well. And then you got Counter-Strike. Now, I was never a competitive first-person shooter guy, still not. I've never got into Counter-Strike. I don't play Overwatch. I play first-person shooter single-player narrative campaigns, but it just never was one of those guys playing competitively. So I never got into Counter-Strike, but I certainly appreciate it from afar and certainly still enjoy watching it being played at a very, very high level even today with CSGO. I can recognize that is one of the greats, one of the great games of all time. Left 4 Dead, though, was a wonderful addition, I think, to the first-person genre because of that feeling of cooperation and desperation and a mix between a campaign and something you could play over and over and over again. In a lot of ways, I think Left 4 Dead was ahead of its time. Left 4 Dead was doing what PUBG and Fortnite are doing now, but way ahead of the business model that would have supported it. I feel like if Left 4 Dead came out today, it would be free to play, or it would be loot box heavy, and it would have a huge, huge community of players. At the time, it had a huge community of players as well, but I really think it would be a completely different beast if it was released today. And I would actually be surprised if we don't see a new version of Left 4 Dead at some point. A really great game, and I think a franchise that deserves revisiting, especially in today's first-person shooter climate. And then you get to your Blizzard section of your list, which is Diablo 2. Now, Diablo 2, I remember the day I bought that game. I bought it at a Fry's Electronics. I brought it home. I was so excited because I'd played the first Diablo. It was the summer. It was in June, I think, that game came out. Or at least it was in June when I bought it, I think. And I was so excited to devote my entire summer to that one game. And devote I did. Man, I played so much Diablo 2. And it just made multiple characters, tried to find all the hidden secrets, leveled up, raised the difficulty level. I mean, I just played Diablo 2 until my fingers bled. Certainly a game that I love. And then you get World of Warcraft, again, just like Tasha's list, you know, certainly a worthy addition. But you add even more reason by talking about how you created such a lasting friendship that you became a best man for one of your guildies, one of your mates on the server. That's an incredible thing. And that really is kind of what BlizzCon is about too. You know, I just came back from BlizzCon a week ago now, and that's what you see there is people that have created these lifelong friendships, and it feels like a family reunion almost at BlizzCon. And it's because of the way Blizzard makes their games, and it's because of the communities that are grown out of those experiences. Certainly yours is an example of that as well. Great list. Next up, a list from Martin, who hits on some of the same notes we've already talked about today and adds some new of his own.
Hi, Jeff. Here's my top five. Number one, Half-Life 2. This is one of the few games where its quality matched my hype for it. Number two, Demon's Souls. This one hit me by surprise when I picked it up. I knew absolutely nothing about it, and I couldn't stop playing it for a week straight. I did nothing but play this, sleep, eat, and play this game. Number three, I'll probably say Counter-Strike 1.6, and I guess Source 2, just because there's the modding community, there's all these different game types, very creative, it's awesome. Number four, Neverwinter Nights, for the same reason. There was a bunch of different modules that people had created, and a bunch of online worlds people created, almost like MMOs. And my last one, I'm going to cheat and say VR, just because it's so new and amazing. Thanks.
Great list, Martin. I totally agree with you on Half-Life 2, of course, because it made my top five list. So it's surprising to me how many of my top five lists games haven't been on anybody else's list, but Half-Life 2, we definitely agree on. Talked about Counter-Strike already on this week's episode. Very cool addition to your list. I'm sure a lot of people agree with you on Demon's Souls. Dark Souls was really the Souls game that got me into it. Specifically, Dark Souls 2, which I think, for my money, the one... I know I'm going to get a lot of disagreement from Souls fans. I'm certainly not a Souls aficionado. I'm sort of... It took Dark Souls 2 to get me into it, and it took co-op to get me into it. But I think... I'm a little surprised Demon's Souls is the Souls game that makes your list, but maybe people that know those games inside and out would disagree. Neverwinter Nights. Now, that is a very, very cool addition to anybody's list. Yes, I don't think they make games quite like that anymore. There was such a concerted effort to encourage the modding community. And it was at a time period when games were doing that, right? When modding was a really big, big deal. It's sort of how esports is now. Like, in order for a game to survive, it has to be potential esports fodder, right? Back then, it had to foster this creativity in people that led to modding. And I don't think you see that as much anymore. And it's a shame, because the things that grew out of Neverwinter Nights from the developer's emphasis on that aspect, I think, is what made it special, as you mentioned. And then, of course, you know, you're going right at my heart here by using VR as your final pick. I kind of call shenanigans, because VR in general isn't a game, obviously. And as you said, you're cheating. But I'll allow it, because I love VR too. I would suggest that there are definitely specific VR games you could pick that are representative of the entire movement. I'm not going to supply them for you. You got to do your own homework there. I certainly love the fact that VR means as much to you as it means to me. And I suspect that in a few years, a VR game will crack my own top five. I'll have to boot one of my games off my top five list to add a VR experience because it is so transcendent and so different and so new.